I would like to start out by introducing you to a man named Ray Gobis. Ray and I went to high school together. He is a marathon runner, among other things, and he was in Boston, very, very close to the bombings today, and I wanted to get his perspective on it. Ray, how are you?
Okay, doing fine. I'm just a little sore after the run itself.
I can imagine. First of all, thanks for doing this. I wish this phone call was under better circumstances. How close were you, Ray, to the bombings earlier today?
I was about a block east of the finish. The runners are running like west to east, and I was on Boylston. As the runners cross the finish line, they're kind of pushed toward east toward the buses where people pick up their bags of gear and so forth. So I was in that area on Boylston, but about a block east of the finish line where the events occurred.
You had already finished the race, correct, Ray?
Yeah, I was sitting there just relaxing. I had finished about a half an hour ahead of time, and I was quite sore, so I was actually sitting on the street with like a lot of other people and just refreshing myself, having a recovery drink, and having some snacks and so forth. And when the first bomb went off, of course, I thought, everybody around me, we were kind of surprised in a sense. I thought it was fireworks or something like that. But no one kind of reacted right away until the second bomb went off, of course, I saw the smoke down at street level as opposed to up in the air like a fireworks should be. But everybody kind of knew that this ain't right, and some people started to move away. They didn't panic, but they started to move away at that point.
Ray, what's strange is, like your story, so many of the stories that I watched today on the news said essentially the same thing, we expected or thought at the time that it wasn't anything out of the ordinary, that it was fireworks or something. The last thing anyone thought of was a bomb, that just wouldn't have entered your head first. Does that surprise you that we just tend to go to the positive side, that we would just say, well, it couldn't possibly be a bomb. What that was must be something good. It must be fireworks or something to celebrate the fact that we're finishing a race.
Yeah. There's no surprise there. I mean, how often it's been a while since the last, time something like that happened. And we had, 9/11, but this is kind of like more like, like the Atlanta bombings, in the Olympics in a sense, kind of like, so the events don't happen very often, and fireworks are everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's just like, every time you go to a ball game or where, it's a big event, and you think, well, okay, so somehow somebody's blowing off a firework,
Ray, for people who have not been to Boston, and this was your third Boston Marathon, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So for people who had not been there on what's referred to as Patriots Day, it's a huge citywide holiday. Most businesses are most, if not all businesses are closed. They always run the marathon on that day. It is one of the days that Boston is most proud of, in addition to 4th of July. It's a huge, huge day for the people of Boston, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the businesses, there are businesses that are open. It's not, it's a lot of people have off, all the school kids are off and so forth. It's not only that, but, all the sports teams are in town, baseball and hockey and basketball. So in addition to the marathon, so it's a huge sporting event. All the runners, people coming from out of town, they're not only going to the marathon, they're also going to these games. So it's a time that, people have off, and it's a big local holiday.
Can I ask, Ray, so much of what we saw on the news today was about the injuries, was about the people who were injured as a result of the bombs. Were you seeing quite a bit of that?
Well, yeah, of course, on the media, everything is focused on, the scene, the people that are closest to the scene. And, you know, of course, I wasn't right on top of that scene. I couldn't see, you know, those people. I was, you know, just, you know, a few hundred yards away. And, you know, so for most people, it was just like, what's going on? And most people didn't realize, you know, even though, you know, I was there, many people didn't realize the extent of injuries that people had had until they looked at the news themselves. But, you know, for me, I mean, it was a loud blast. And when I realized that it wasn't fireworks, I saw where it had happened, I was like, yeah, you know, I just knew that there was, you know, this was going to be bad.
How did what about the Boston police, Ray? It seems from the accounts that I've seen on television today that they acted extremely quickly to kind of cordon off the area, make sure that nobody else was going to be injured. What went on there? What did you see?
Well, the police acted quickly. I mean, I was standing right next to a police officer who was, you know, his job was to direct people, you know, keep people from getting into the area where the runners were and so forth and let people out. You know, so he when the blast occurred, I mean, you know, he had the same information we all had, you know, and so, you know, we all realized when the second one went off a few seconds later and, you know, saw the smoke, you know, his reaction, you know, without getting any calls from anybody else was, you know, to say, OK, come on, people, let's come on. You know, he was trying to move people away even before he had any information, you know, over his radio from anybody. And that was, you know, so people acted instinctively, you know, pretty well. And the police were, of course, everywhere. I mean, they came from all directions. You know, there's immediately following, I mean, there was, you know, sirens and emergency vehicles coming from every direction. So it was quite a scene. It was quite surreal in a sense that I was walking east, and there was, you know, I knew what had happened, but a lot of people, as I was passing, had no clue at what had happened. And so it was interesting that, you know, here, you know, situations going on, and a lot of people don't even know what had happened just down the street. You know, some people were just going about their, you know, every day.
Yeah.
You know, having a great weekend, you know, out in the park and about with their kids, you know, in the pond over there, over there in the park. So it was interesting how, you know, had this terrible tragedy. Other people were, you know, still hadn't, you know, gotten the news yet. And, so it was an odd feeling, you know, because knowing that something big had happened and everybody else is. A lot of people were clueless. People eventually found out, after a while, just word of mouth.
Did they stop the race right away, Ray?
They did. Yeah. It was immediate. I had a friend that was just about a couple blocks from the finish, just before they make the turn on the Boylston. And, they blocked her. So she just had, you know, another 2 minutes to go. And she didn't, of course, you know, even make it on the Boylston. The crowd just quickly piled up prior to the last turn out on the Boylston. And people that were even on the street didn't even get a chance to cross. So, yeah, it was stopped right away. I mean, it was, you know, it was. Even if you were there, it would have been odd to run past, run through them. So.
Although, you know, there's an elderly gentleman, a 78-year-old marathon runner, who, if you've been watching the footage they've shown many, many times today, he's the guy who's right. He's very, very close to the blast, and the blast actually knocks him down. And they talked to him earlier on CNN, and he was talking about how his instinct was to get up and finish the race. That's what he does. He was there to run, and even though this explosion happened so close to him and it, you know, just literally knocked him off of his feet, his first inkling was to get up and do his best to get up and finish the race. I would have to think that story, it's not the only time you're going to hear a version of that story. I bet for a lot of those people, they're like, I'm so close to the finish, I want to finish this race.
It is. I mean, well, you know, all runners, you know, get that, you know, I mean, especially you just spent 3-4 hours on your feet. So people, you know, I mean, mentally and physically, you're spent, and it takes a lot of mental special person to go through that ordeal and to make it to the finish when you're quite spent. And so, and sometimes you're not thinking right, you know, when you're that tired and that emotionally spent, it's hard to do simple, you know, just calculating your pace in your head. Simple things could be difficult. I'm not surprised that he was in that state of mind, because you're not quite all there when you're at the end of a race. Sometime, you know, you can get a little bit delirious.
Yeah.
So he's, had he known, I mean, he thought it was fireworks himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he got blown over, but I'm not quite so sure he actually was able to grasp the situation at the moment.
Would you be apprehensive, Ray, to do events like this in the future? Is this going to hold you back from doing more marathons?
Well, you know, I thought about that, you know, as I was walking away from that. It's like, well, you know, my club has plans on coming back here again next year with even more people. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, how is that going to, you know, affect what I, you know, my next year's plans? I mean, I would still do it. But yeah, I mean, there's the thought goes through your head that, you know, is this something that's going to happen with more frequency, or is this a one-off event? It's a high-profile event. You know, the Boston Marathon is one of six major marathons around the world, and the Boston Red Sox, the Bruins might be big here, but from around internationally, you know, the Boston Marathon is much bigger from an international standpoint. You know, the people are seeing us all around the world. Yeah, so it's a high profile event, and it's, I think, you know, like the Olympics, things like that tend to get targeted.
Right? Yeah, and Ray, one more question. I know that the initial reaction to everybody there on the scene and throughout the city and surrounding area of Boston was shock. Nobody was expecting this to happen today, but now that some time has passed, we're into past the midnight hour. It's 2:16 there in Boston right now. What's the mood now? Now that it's been digested a little bit by the people of Boston, what would you say the mood is right now?
Well, the mood is caution. You know, right now, you walk out on the streets, or in this evening, there's a police car in front of, you know, most hotels. When you walk into a hotel, they're asking you for let me see your key and so forth. So I mean, there's. And also, you know, heck, I went for dinner afterwards, on the waterfront, and you've got helicopters and you've got the shore patrol, Coast Guard ship out there, moving back and forth through the harbor. So there's all the police are out, and they're encouraging people to stay in this evening. Initially, there was a ton of people on the streets afterwards. So they had shut down the red line and the green line out here. It's, you know, two very popular, you know, train lines.
Yeah.
So nobody could get anywhere. So initially, there was, like, people everywhere. But as the evening had gone on, the people eventually dissipated and it was kind of seemed quite quiet. So it's just quiet and caution, and people are just happy that there's nothing else happening, and everybody's safe.
Sure.
Right, yeah. Now. So.
That is Oak Forest's own Ray Gobis, a Chicago runner who is in Boston for the Boston Marathon, letting us know what he saw today. Ray, I appreciate you being. I know this has been a long, long day for you, but I appreciate you spending some time with us. Good luck. Good. I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you. No problem.
You're very welcome.